The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
How you doing, buddy? I got a bone to pick with the song we just sang. Silent Night. You got a baby. Babies are not silent, and if they are, there's something wrong. You got angel choirs singing on the hillsides. You got cattle. That's not a silent night. All right, rant over. Okay. Good morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll see what God has for us today. Father, thanks. You're so good to us, God. We love you. I pray that you'll open our hearts, Father, to see how we fit in this Christmas story. God, thanks. Ask it in your name. Amen. So, title for today's message is Misfits to Messengers. I'm glad you changed that, because I realized after I sent in last night, I should have changed the title. He changed the pictures. It was good. All right, so Misfits to Messengers. We're going to talk about the shepherds tonight. It's been a long day. Let's be honest. Every good Christmas story has misfits. It happens. So in here, we've got Rudolph with a glowing red nose, Yukon Cornelius chasing imaginary silver and gold, and then there's the hero of our story today, Hermie the Elf. Hermie the Elf. Hermie wakes up one day and he says, you know what? I don't want to make toys. I want to be a dentist. Which is basically elf speak for, hey, I want to be unemployed. Because they don't do dental work. They just make toys, all right? The other elves look at him like, dude, we make toys. That's what we do here. Why are you so weird? Hermie doesn't fit. He's out of place. He's different. You ever feel like that? I do. Because of that, he eventually gets sidelined, he gets mocked, and eventually gets sent away. I want you to keep Hermie in mind as we go through the story today. If you've got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. Let's talk about the shepherds, the original misfits. Luke 2:8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Translation, these guys are working the night shift, outdoors, with sheep. Shepherds weren't respected. Right? They were dirty, smelly, socially awkward. If you hang around sheep all the time, you're going to be smelly. If there had been a list of people most likely to hear from God about this birth of a Savior, they would have come right before nobody and somebody else. Okay? They're not high on the social standings of their town. They're not Hallmark Christmas movie people. They're a lot like Hermie. Sitting around on the hillsides thinking, all right, what's next? What am I going to do? Look, God sent angels to these guys? Just a bunch of dirty dudes hanging out on a hillside? God sent Jesus to them? Or angels? He did. Look at Luke 2:9. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Now, I really don't think that they were terrified is necessarily needed, Of course they were terrified. They're on the hillside hanging out with a bunch of sheep, and all of a sudden, boom, the spotlight of heaven opens up on them, and an angel appears to them. If you ever read anything, if you ever read in the New Testament about, it got weird all of a sudden. If you read anything about angels in the New Testament, the first thing they tell people is, don't be afraid. So my theology professor in college used to say, angels are not little fat naked babies. That's what they would show, you know, little fat little naked cherub. Oh, he's a baby. He's an angel. No, he's not. Angels were frightening. I get the feeling they're like big guys. Big, and they have swords that have flames. We've seen that in Scripture. And then in one place it talks about them, it was weird. So the angels show up and say, hey, don't be afraid. Okay, easy for you to say. Now, look who God chose. These are the first people on earth to know that except for Mary and Joseph. They don't count. Okay, except for Mary and Joseph. These are the first people on earth to know that Jesus is coming. Who were they? Well, they're not priests. They're not kings. They're not religious professionals. It's like God looked down at heaven and said, you know what? You know who I want for this job? The night shift shepherds. The guys that are doing the overnights. The guy that works at 7-Eleven to 3 o'clock in the morning. See, imagine this. You work at 7-Eleven, 3 o'clock in the morning, mind your own business, can't sell beer anymore because it's against the law. And all of a sudden, all the lights in the 7-Eleven start flashing. And a voice comes out of heaven. Behold, I've sent you somebody. Okay. You're either going to die of fright, or you may need to go home and change clothes, or all of the above. May do one, then the other. But see, the angel brought good news for the people that nobody notices. I asked you a minute ago if you ever feel like you're left out, cast out. The angel came to give you good news. I got a feeling that's why it was the shepherds who heard first. Sure, he could have gone to a king, could have gone to the president of the United States. Well, not then, but you get the idea. But no, let's go to the night shift guys. Let's go to the dude working at 7-Eleven at 3 in the morning. Verse 10, the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to a lot of people. Oh, that's not what it says. It will bring joy to some people. No, I'll bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. See, all people include shepherds. All people includes misfits. All people includes anyone who's ever felt like Hermie at the toy factory. All people means you. God came to bring you good news. See, it's real easy for us to get caught up in the corporate we, right? Oh yes, the Lord came to give the world joy to the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Really? Okay. What about joy to me? Because the Lord came for me. And he came for you. In fact, you can turn and tell your neighbor, he came for you. Not all of you did it, and I'm watching. He came for everybody. He went to the third shift guys. And he told them, I've got news for you that's going to change the whole world. And like, okay. Then the angel says, oh, by the way, he's laying in a manger. This great news I have, this great king that's coming to change the world, he's in a food trough. Not a palace. Not the nursery in a hospital. A feeding trough. You know, I think God basically is saying here, I'm going to come, I'm going to send my son in a way that makes everybody uncomfortable. I don't like the picture of Jesus, baby Jesus, sleeping in a food trough. Now, when I ran the ranch in San Diego, we fed the cows, and you would not want a baby in those troughs. Cows lick them, and it's not good. It's just not a place for a baby. I don't care how much you clean it out. A cow has been licking the inside of that. I don't care how much you clean it out. It's just nasty. And here's baby Jesus sleeping. It's almost like he's forgotten too. There wasn't a place for him to have a nice hotel room. There wasn't a place for him in a hospital. There wasn't a place for him in a palace. He came to just like one of the lowest of the low. Just like us. Don't skip over this fact. Here's the thing. I've said for years, we want to believe that Jesus lived on this deified plane, that he walked around like 3 feet above the earth, and then nothing ever touched him. What's the song we sing where it says, "The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes"? What? He's a baby. I said one time in church, and I have a tendency to do this. I said, you know, Jesus had dirty diapers. And I heard a lady in the church with an audible, ah. He said that the baby Jesus had a dirty diaper. He did. He's a baby. If you got a baby and you don't have dirty diapers, something's wrong. There's just something's wrong. They don't come out potty trained. Jesus was a little 8-year-old Judean kid with freckles. Maybe throwing rocks at cats. I don't know about that. Jesus was a 13-year-old boy who didn't know what his voice was going to be from one moment to the next. Hey, guys, how are you? If you can't picture Jesus just like you, there was no reason for him to come. He was just like us. And we get caught up in him. Oh, he was fully God. He was also fully man. So when you read this Christmas story, that little baby in the feeding trough, yeah, he's God come to earth, but he's also a little baby. Don't lose sight of that. I love this, that the shepherds go from shepherds to town criers. Remember the town criers? Well, maybe you don't remember them, obviously, but you've seen them in movies. The old Elizabethan times, walking around, ringing a bell, 10 o'clock and all's well. 11 o'clock and all's well. Hey, dude, I'm trying to sleep. All was well until you said that. Shut up. Again, maybe that's just me. But like this, the shepherds don't say, like we would. We would do this. We have that worm talk kind of thing, you know. Well, I understand that the Lord has come to us, but really, yeah, we should wait for somebody more qualified to come along because I'm a shepherd. I stink. They knew how the town looked at them. They knew how they didn't fit in. That's why they're working third shift. There's a reason why they were not working during the day. They were working at night where they didn't have to run into anybody. This is not like the highest crust of society. Look at verse 15. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. These guys don't say, well, you know, we really need to talk about this because we need to talk about the theological implications. Maybe we should have a committee. so we can discuss amongst ourselves whether it's really good for us to. Maybe we should bring somebody else in. Maybe we should bring in a professional. No, they ran to Bethlehem. They hurried. Hey, let's go see this. Let's go check this out. This is going to be cool. I love the story about the guy that's trying out for a job at the railroad. And so they ask him, you got a train coming north on the track at 85 miles an hour. You got a train coming south on the same track, 85 miles an hour. What do you do? He said, I'm going to go get Bob. Who's Bob? He's my best friend. How is Bob going to help you? He's not going to help me, but he ain't never seen a wreck like this is going to be. They didn't wait for Bob. They ran to check it out. They wanted to see, let's go see this thing. The shepherds became the first Christmas preachers. I like this idea. Oh, I'm sorry. After seeing him, just a will of a machine. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Now, the shepherds became the first Christmas preachers. I don't know if they had PowerPoint. These are guys who are usually told, just be quiet. Stay over there with your stinky self. Stay over there. You don't need to come around us, you know, good folk. Good, air quotes. Anybody does air quotes around me, you're just asking to be slapped. You know, none of this stuff is ever in my notes. And I've told you before, if you think what comes out is scary, you should hear the stuff that stays in. These are guys that are told, be quiet, you know, just hold it in, just be quiet. And now they're being told, go tell everybody. Go tell Bob. He never seen anything like this. And in the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Hermie eventually helped save Christmas too, remember? Because he took all the teeth out of the Yeti, or the abominable snowman, which I think is unnecessary. He helped save Christmas. Took a while to get there. Took a while to figure out. But the shepherds also have an idea. God has something for him to do. God didn't pick him by accident. See, they go back to work. But they're changed. Luke 2:20 says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So like today, if the angels came and spoke to us, we would have to do like a social media post. Doing a selfie with the angels. Got one for the TikToks. For the gram, doing it for the gram. Don't make me smack you. They went back to work. They went back to hang out on the hillside with the smelly sheep. You know, today they would have taken an offering. They got into town and taken an offering. Hey, we're going to go on the evangelistic field. We're going to need some support from you. They go back to the sheep. Same job. Same fields. Probably the same smell. But everything is different. See, when we meet Jesus, everything changes. When we come face to face with our Savior, when we encounter him, things change. Those feelings of self-pity can be replaced by the love of God. Those feelings like we don't belong are changed when we realize that God has called us his children. Yeah, we go back to work Monday, but everything's different. Everything's changed. It's important that you realize that we're talking not just about a baby in a manger. We're talking about a change that will change your life. He didn't come here just for a cool story and so we could give Christmas gifts. He came to make everything different. The shepherds now know that God saw them. God chose them. And God trusted them. See, the other thing that comes from meeting Christ is we have a purpose for our lives. We're not just wandering around anymore. We've got a purpose. God sees you. He's chosen you. And he trusts you. There are people in your life that you can reach for Christ that will never hear me talk. They'll never know me. But God trusts you to reach them for him. What does this mean for us? Well, some of us feel like Hermie. We don't fit the mold. I watch the TV preachers, you know. I don't watch them much, but I watch them every now and then. I don't fit the mold of a TV preacher, which is probably why I'm not one. They're all skinny, for the most part. They have all their hair, or they have somebody else's hair. I don't judge. I don't know. I don't fit that mold. I'm old. I'm chubby. I'm not photogenic. I have a face you could stick in a bowl of dough and make gorilla cookies. I get it. I'm not the prototype of who God would choose. I grew up in a Christian family, kind of. My grandpa was a pastor. My uncle was a pastor. My dad wasn't. Grew up in a single-parent home. Living in the ghettos in L.A. I am not the prototypical person that God would choose to do anything with. And yet through my life, God has enabled me to preach, enabled me to reach the lives of people that I never thought I would reach. Why, because I'm special? No. Not any more than you guys are. You guys are just as special as I am. We don't fit the mold. We feel overlooked. And we wonder if God made a mistake with us. You ever feel like that? God, look, I don't know what you're doing, but something ain't right. This doesn't work. This. We go through situations, we go through things in our life, and we say, God, something's wrong here. How can you use a person like me? You know why? Because I'm one of the unusable ones. I'm one of the guys hanging out on the hillside waiting for the shepherds to sing. I'm waiting for the angels to sing. So are you. So are you. God wants to use you. We wonder if God made a mistake, but Christmas tells us that he didn't. If God can use shepherds to announce salvation to the world, he can use you. Don Francisco, years ago, had a great song about Balaam's donkey. In the Old Testament, there's a great story about Balaam. God tells him not to go prophesy, but the king that's going to prophesy is going to offer him money, so Balaam goes. And he's on the road, and an angel appears in front of Balaam's donkey, And Balaam's donkey can see it, but Balaam can't. So Balaam, the donkey bucks Balaam off, and so Balaam hits the donkey. He says, come on, let's go. He hits him again. I don't know how many times it goes on, but basically the donkey tells him, hey, dude, quit hitting me. I'm trying to keep you from ruin. By the way, there's a big angel right here. He's got a flaming sword. He's going to cut your head off. The angel then appears to Balaam, and Balaam says, oh, crud. So I got news for you. If God can use a talking donkey, and I'm not talking about the one from Shrek, but if God can use a donkey that can talk, God can use you. You're better than a donkey. Put your hand up. Yes, Jerry, I agree. I am better than a donkey. Some of you still struggling with that. All right, trust me, you are. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece. I love this verse. The Mona Lisa got nothing on us. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. You're not an accident. You're just not. You're not damaged goods. You're not people left by the wayside. God planned for you long ago, before you were born, before your parents thought of you. God looked down and said, okay, here's somebody I can work with. Here's somebody that's going to work at 7-Eleven at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can use him. Here's somebody that's going to do a job that nobody else cares about, but I can use her. Do the good things planned for us long ago. You were called and created to do good things. See, the great thing is when misfits meet Jesus, they don't stay misfits. They become messengers. There are people in your lives that need to hear what you have to say. But Jerry, I don't know how to preach. I'm not telling you to preach to them. In fact, don't. Tell them what God's done for you. That's it. Tell them what God's done in you. Again, one of my pet phrases, I told you I don't have any new ones, so just don't worry about it. Evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. I was starving, but I found bread over here. People in your lives are starving to hear the news of Jesus. Show them where to find bread. Show them where you found bread. You have to preach a message to them. Well, yea, verily, I was toldeth by the Lordeth. Shut up. Just tell them, you know what? I was lost and I was broken. I came to Christ and my life changed. And not only can he do it for you, he will do it for you. That'll preach. I want you to think for a moment. Close your eyes. Think for a moment about the people in your life. Could be family, could be people at work, could be people in your neighborhood that need Jesus. Guess who is their messenger? You are. Father, thanks. God, for some reason, you trust us to go to the hurt and the broken and the needy. Tell them where to find bread, the bread of life. God, you're so good to us. Father, I pray that each one of us would go from misfits to messengers. that we wouldn't stay the same. We wouldn't stay as we are, God. We'd allow you to change us. Father, send us to somebody who needs you. Just say that to him, God, right now. God, send me to somebody who needs you. One of those people you thought about a moment ago. God, give me the words to reach them for you. Thanks, God. Thank you for trusting us, for loving us, for choosing us. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the lives that are going to change because you came to a bunch of us misfits and we became messengers of your grace. Messengers of your mercy. Messengers of your love. Thanks, Father. I want you to know God's going to open doors for you this week to share where to find bread. You don't have to force the door open. God will open it for you. When it happens, don't be scared. Don't be scared. God bless you. I love you guys. We'll be in the back if you need prayer. Have a great Christmas.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You build a mighty fortress, 10,000 birds.